your home for the biggest sporting events on the planet. TSN 690.
Our leadership starting with Landy all the way down, and we're prepared and ready to go play our game. That's the most important thing. I don't think that we're going to shy away from the moment. I think our focus is good, and you know, they may have more experience, but we're here to try and prove that we're the best team in the league. That's where our mindset is at.
I don't make a habit of talking to my players through the media. I talk to them eye to eye, and that's how we get things done. But you don't want to send messages or any of that kind of stuff. I try and tell the truth, but to be honest, you know, I didn't think we could play any worse after game one in Toronto. So that's why I was so confident we were going to play better. I'm like, well, I can't get any worse.
Colorado Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar and Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper. This is Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Gallo in for Melnick with John Still and Jimmy G. And it's time now to talk to the voice of hockey on TSN, Gord Miller. Good afternoon, Gord.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Now tell me, how do you feel about this matchup? We get the two-time defending cup champs against one of the best offensive teams in the league. This has the potential to be amazing.
It does. And so I think, you know, a couple things it comes down to, you know, Tampa can defend better. So can they, you know, contain Colorado's offense? Obviously, Vasilevskiy will be a big part of that. And I think the health of two centers is key here. If Tampa gets Braden Point back and Colorado doesn't get Nazem Kadri back, that's a tipping point in the series.
Sounds like we will see Braden Point tonight in game
Sounds
one.
Sounds like Point's going to play tonight. And Kadri, maybe game three. Like, he was skating today with a stick, so.
How effective do you think Braden Point is going to be?
Well, they wouldn't put him in if they didn't think he'd be effective at all. I mean, obviously, I mean, the thing is that the teams know that, you know, an average player at 50% or at 100% is better than Braden Point at 50.
Right.
So they're gonna give themselves the best chance to win. You know, the one thing that you worry about in the course of a regular season, if a guy's nicked up, you want to give him time to get 100%. In the playoffs, you got all summer to recover.
I always just wonder, though, right, because I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, it's hard to get a gauge on how healthy the player is because they don't tell you, Gordon.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
we always find out when a team's knocked out. You know, this guy's having surgery and that guy had a broken wrist and this guy had this and this guy had that. So I do think Braden Point at 80% plus is a big addition for Tampa.
For sure. I always worry that we have a situation like the last round where Ryan Strome was playing for the Rangers and, in my opinion, had no business being in the game. He was completely useless.
Well, I mean, that, you know, the team's got to decide. I mean, it's a little bit what Barry Trotz said to Alexander Ovechkin. You know, like Ovechkin was staying out for two-minute shifts, and Trotz pointed, I think it was a Jay Beagle on the bench, and said, you know that after 2 minutes, a rested Jay Beagle is better than you.
Right. I hope we see a healthy Braden Point in the series, and I hope Nazem Kadri is good to go in game three, because for the most part, we have two teams that are relatively healthy, considering it is the Stanley Cup final. And there is just so many individual matchups that are interesting here. Like, we could get into debates as to who's better, Makar or Hedman.
Well, they're different. They're very different players. So it's almost not a fair comparison. You know, Hedman's a better defensive player. I mean, Cale Makar, I think, is the most dynamic offensive defense we've seen in the NHL since Paul Coffey.
And Hedman?
Hedman is more of a, I think you're looking at a stout defender with some offense. More of a, not Nick Lidstrom, but, you know, a big, rangy defender who can also score.
How lopsided do you think the goaltending situation is?
Well, based on resumes, quite lopsided. I mean, Vasilevskiy has, you know, the track record. Darcy Kemper doesn't really. But, I mean, it's seven games. it's not who's the best goalie over the course of the year. It's who's the best goalie over the next 2 weeks.
Gord, you've watched a lot of hockey. You've seen the greats play, especially in the goaltending position. Is that, and look, everyone wants to make the list of who's the best goaltender ever, but the way that Andrei Vasilevskiy closes things out, is he, for you, the best goaltender in pressure-packed moments you've seen, or is there someone else who comes to mind?
Dominik Hasek. Dominik Hasek's the best goaltender I've seen in my time covering the game, which is 40 years.
But he is it more that he was a spectacular goaltender and Vasilevskiy?
He fought to make every save.
Mm-hmm.
Dominik Hasek just fought to make every single save.
It's funny because right before you joined us, we're talking about some lopsided Stanley Cup finals. And we're talking about the Buffalo roster, the year that they played the Dallas Stars in that 99 final. And with all the respect to the players on that team, there were some solid players like Mike Pekka and Stu Barnes, but that's not a Stanley Cup caliber team. That was all Dominik Hasek.
Yeah. No, he was, I mean, he almost single-handedly won the Czechs the gold medal in 98 in Nagano. He dragged, he dragged Buffalo to be what they were. He was great for Detroit. Really good in Ottawa until he got hurt at the Olympics. For me, Hasek is the greatest that I've seen. So Vasilevskiy's right up there, but he's the guy.
What do you think it is about Vasilevskiy, though, that when his team is facing elimination or the stakes are higher, that he seems to have another level?
Well, I think physically, he's one of the most gifted goaltenders we've seen in terms of he's got the best legs in the league. He's so hard to beat low because he's so quick. Like he's impossible to score on almost in the bottom half of the net. And so that physically he's great athletically. He understands the game and he's got a great mindset. That's what makes him so good. I think, you talk about lopsided finals, and I think one thing to keep in mind here, and I go back to the 1997 final between Detroit and Philadelphia, and the Flyers got beaten in game one, 4-2. In Philly. There was 2 days off between games one and two. And so the Flyers got beaten up after game one in the press, in the first off day, the second off day, in the morning skate before game two. And Terry Murray, who was the coach of that Flyer team, said if he'd known how bad it was going to be, he'd have gotten his players out of town. So what's going to happen here is whoever wins game one, the losing team is going to get beat up for 3 days, right? And how they handle that is going to be really important, especially if it's Colorado, right? If Tampa wins game one tonight and then Colorado at home gets roughed up for 3 days, it can wear on you.
Well, I think that's a great point. And actually, I want to ask you about the layoff after the sweep for the Colorado Avalanche. As somebody who's seen different scenarios play out over the history of hockey, it's good to be rested come Stanley Cup final, but is there a trade-off there for Colorado where Tampa Bay is a little bit more sharp because they've been on the ice more recently?
There's no such thing as momentum in the playoffs. There really isn't. Every game is its own individual event, so you always take rest over momentum. Always, always take rest over momentum.
Gord, what about everyone's looking at specific matchups, like the fact that Anthony Cirelli has just taken it to a whole nother level, the way that he shackled the star players, the opposition, the first three teams. Everyone's looking at him versus MacKinnon, how that's going to go down. But how do you think the Avalanche blue line copes with what has been such a good cycle team, especially on the bottom six forwards for the Tampa Bay Lightning? The Nick Pauls, the Corey Perrys, Pat Maroons, they enjoy so much zone time. And Devontae's and Cale Makar have been great, but they are a little bit more undersized, and they're kind of guys who want to be able to take the puck quickly and send it up front and break going the other way.
Well, that was always the thought about Scott Niedermayer, right? Dallas thought in the 2000 final that they would break down Scott Niedermayer, and be able to and sort of wear him down. But Scott Niedermayer was a one-man breakout. and Cale Makar is too. He's just a one-man breakout. So I wouldn't worry as much about that. I think the one thing is Tampa is more versatile than Colorado. If you want to play the heavy grinding game, Tampa can play that. If you want to play low-scoring games, Tampa can play those. If you want to play run-and-gun, Tampa can play that. So I do think there's a versatility there, but let's not kid ourselves here. You know, if you look at the high-end offensive players in this series, they play for Colorado.
What do you think Colorado is going to learn quickly being in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time? What is the biggest difference between playing in rounds 1 through 3 and then the spotlight being on you for the final?
I think the one thing is, you know, dealing with the adversity of whoever loses game one is part of it. But, I mean, these guys are, you know, they've been through it a lot, and they're pretty experienced. They'll be fine. I think, you look at Tampa. I mean, you heard that John Cooper clip there saying, we couldn't play any worse in game one. They don't panic, right? The Lightning don't panic. They have a confidence about them that they're going to be okay. And they also have, I mean, you guys mentioned Anthony Cirelli, and I got some abuse for saying this. He was going to be on the Canadian Olympic team. He was going to be there. Like, John Cooper loves that guy. And now you're seeing why. But Cirelli would have been on the Canadian Olympic team.
I think so. I think Selke Trophy voters like him a lot too.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's a really, really good player that, and funny, on a team that's on TV all the time, is still somewhat underrated, really. Like, considering how many big games Tampa's played the last few years and how often they're in the spotlight, Cirelli doesn't really get his due. But, you know, I think that he'll be an important part of it. And for Colorado, Kadri kind of plays that same role, mm-hmm. a little higher end offensively, but Kadri is the guy that does that for them, and they'll really miss him.
But Cirelli just has that extra kind of speed that you really want from a guy
yeah.
in that position. Gord, you're talking about John Cooper. You've spoken to a lot of coaches over the years. Is there really a difference between coaching in a Stanley Cup final for a guy like Jared Bednar? John Cooper's been there
no.
before. You were speaking about how he conveys kind of that calm. Is there a difference at all from a coaching perspective?
I don't see it. Bednar's been around. I don't see it. It really is, you know, when you talk to the guys that play in them, and when you strip everything else away, it's like the Super Bowl. When you strip away the anthem and the introductions and everything else, it's the game you've been playing your whole life. The field's the same size, the ball's the same, like everything's the same. And it comes down to playing a football game. It's the same with this. Once you strip away all the media day and all the other attention that goes with it, you're just playing hockey. It's the same game you've played all your life.
We are chatting with TSN's Gord Miller on Melnick in the Afternoon. Another angle I wanted to ask you about is the fact that Jared Bednar is playing coy with who will start in goal between Kemper and Francouz. Look, we all expect it to be Kemper. Maybe they throw a surprise out there. But just from the betting standpoint, and we know how much betting has been advertised on the various
yeah.
networks in these playoffs, the better not being able to know who's starting in goal for Game 1 of the Cup Final.
You know, you wonder about that, right? And one of the reasons the NFL is so transparent about injuries is betting. I would like to see the starting goaltender declared at some point the day of the game. I mean, because let's be honest here. And even though Francouz catches with his right hand, he's a right-hand catcher, it doesn't, like, it's not like Tampa's going to be, oh my God, Francouz is playing. We have to change everything. Like, it's like, okay, Francouz is in. Like, that's the extent of it. But I don't know what you think you're pulling over on people. I do kind of chuckle at coaches, and football coaches are the worst for this. Their secrecy and their, you know, all this. Like, everyone knows what everyone else is doing. They have video of you. They know your whole playbook. Like, I always laugh, you know, a great story that the Celtics and the Lakers used to play each other all the time in the 80s in the NBA Finals. And there was a rookie playing for the Lakers, I forget who it was, and they were running an inbound play, and Larry Bird said to the kid, no, you're over there. Right? So, I mean, I don't know what secrets you think you're keeping from everyone. I mean, obviously you don't disclose an injury that someone has, but even then, if it's a leg injury, you can tell by the way the guy skates. Like, players know what's wrong with other players. It is kind of comical, the secrecy. They think they're being so, you know, cloak and dagger with it. Like, come on. Like, football is the worst for it. They do make me chuckle. Like, it's not that complicated. I mean, let's be honest. People who are illiterate can play football, so it can't be that complicated.
I really hope that was the case with that Larry Bird story on that very, very famous inbound play with Larry Bird when he was able to pull it off. No. I'm just kidding with you. Gord, you always hear, though, on the other side when it comes down to injuries is that, and I'm with you 100%, especially with the way that betting is coming in. It's going to have to change at some point in hockey. But you hear from hockey players and hockey coaches that, they're going to target that specific part. I mean, if you're playing even soccer, NFL, whatever it is, you are going to target those players regardless. Are hockey players just that much more dirty, that much more savage to really be going after someone when they know that an injury is targeted in that area of their body?
So Braden Point didn't take faceoffs in the Toronto series. So it's his shoulder or his wrist. If he can't take a face-off, chances are it's his bottom hand or bottom arm. So you can narrow that down. You watch him in the warm-up. Can he snap shots? If he can, it's his shoulder. Like, it's not that hard. It's just a long tradition of doing it this way. And so it's like the morning, you know, I always laugh at the morning skate. The players come on the ice, and they always skate in the same direction, counterclockwise. They step on the ice, they turn right, and they skate counterclockwise. What would happen if the first guy that came out skated clockwise? The guys wouldn't know what to do. They've been doing it that way for so long. It's so ingrained in them. Like, so much of what happens in hockey and in sports is only done because it's always been done. Why do you do that? I don't know. We've always done it. Well, why do you do it? I don't know. We've always done it.
That's funny. Because
I just like the idea of a whole bunch of guys just crashing into each other coming off the ice.
What's happening here? Chaos.
And you know, Gord, just to your point about being able to break it down and figure out what the injury is without being told, I think it was the Calgary-Edmonton series, right? I don't remember which Calgary defenseman it was, but nobody flat out said that Draisaitl had a high ankle sprain, but the defenseman was attacking that part of the body with his stick on purpose.
Yeah, but again, you can tell by the way Draisaitl skates, right? Like, you'd know, like, anyone who knows Draisaitl, who's played against him or played with him, would look at him and go, something's wrong with his ankle.
Yeah, I mean, you could just watch when, who was it for the Kings who was hanging off the back of him who was able to kind of twist it the way that he did. Last one for you here, Gord. Do you think we see a change at all in the standard of officiating considering it's a Stanley Cup final?
Hope not. And their goal is to not change. So, it's their top officials, right? We're down to the best of the best. And they've been told since the start of the playoffs that you will get promotions and you will advance based on your consistency. So let's hope it stays that way. Because, look, we said it earlier. There are some tremendous offensive players in this series, right? I mean, NHL superstars. Let's see them play. Without guys draped all over them, without being, you know, obstructed, let's see them at their best.
I'm with you. And when we chat next, we have two games to recap. So enjoy the two games, Gordon, and we'll chat next Wednesday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There's TSN's Gord Miller, who joins Mitch Melnick on Melnick in the Afternoon every Wednesday at 4:40. Coming up next on TSN 690, we stick with the Stanley Cup Final preview and chat with three-time Cup champion Aaron Ward.